From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. Gunuth Chish, Hawa, Toyak Saknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, a preview of the upcoming Freedom for All art show, including a call for artists as there is still time to submit. Make good sourdough? Get yourself registered for the Last Chance Mining Museum Sourdough Bake-Off this coming Saturday. And information on the first ever Wild Skills Junior Search and Rescue Day Camp from She Jumps and Juno Mountain Rescue. Those conversations, plus Tongass Voices, Savory Moment, and Star Party, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
You're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. It's been over a year since Rebecca Shea moved into her new studio space downtown. Since then, she and three other artists have formed Heads in the Clouds Collective, a growing community space for anyone in Juno to learn a new art medium, or make new friends. The four artists work there and also host workshops or camps. As Shea explains, community is central to the collective's ethos.
So we're Heads in the Clouds Collective downtown. There are four artists who share this space. And so there's Tess Olympia, and she owns Juno Woolies. She's back in that corner. And then this is Glow Ramirez of Glow Inc. And she does everything, I think, a lot of things. She illustrates, she has clothing, she's got earrings. That's Grace Corrigan from Sundew Prints. She's about to teach the printmaking workshop. This beautiful mess is mine. I'm Rebecca Shea of Ricochet Studios, and I do mostly like crocheting, just a lot of fibers.
When I was 10 for Christmas, I got one of those like really typical like crochet kits that had a little book. And I remember looking through the book trying to figure it out, and I could not. So my uncle actually like figured it out and then pseudo taught me. And it's just something that I've always come back to. And before I moved to Juno as a young adult, I kind of picked it up again. When I first moved to town, I actually worked at Kindred Post, and I don't think I would have pursued art if I didn't work there and make the connections I did, because everyone is just so supportive. And so I just started making more and getting connected in the art scene, and then like having a market for the first time, and then people bought stuff, and I was like, oh my God. And so then I just keep making stuff that really like make me happy and make me smile. So I just wanted to crochet a hot dog that was like our height. So what's going to happen is in that room in the Jack, one side's going to be all the Eastern foods I grew up with. And so I'm going to make like a dim sum table and all that. And then on the other side will be all the Western foods. I think Juno has been the most supportive place, in the sense that sometimes I think people can like gatekeep like grants or market opportunities or show opportunity, like exhibition opportunities. And here, whenever I've talked to any other artists, like people are just so willing to share that information and be like, hey, I think you'd be great for this, even though they might be aiming for the same thing, that it's just like people are here to lift each other up. And so I try to do the same of like promoting other people's work and all that.
this is what I do full time. So I'm in here the most, and everyone kind of comes on their own schedule. This space actually was a nail place beforehand. So I think around a year and a half ago, I actually used to be in a studio across the hall and it flooded. And so we had to move all our stuff, or I had to move all my stuff in here with another artist. But I've been kind of eyeing the space just because the views are really nice. Just slowly started reaching out to other artists that I was friends with to see if they would be interested in having a more focused artist space where we can kind of collaborate and, you know, make this a community place. We're trying to open it up and like collecting other artists to teach in here because we just want to, you know, make this a big community space where people can learn and create.
That was Rebecca Shea from the Heads in the Clouds Collective for this week's Tongass Voices. Her show, Bite Size, is up at the Juno Arts and Humanities Center until the end of this month.
You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. On June 7th, which will be First Friday for June, one opening will be the Freedom for All art show at Picture This. It will be a mix of mediums, and there is still time if you're an artist to be a part of it. And here to tell us more is Desiree Arrowson. Gunathachish, hi, goody. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio today. Wasa EAT, how's it going, Des?
It's great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Okay, so first off, let's remind people what Picture This is.
Well, so Picture This is a custom framing store here in downtown Juneau, but it's being held mostly, well, with by the Juneau Pro-Choice Coalition. And I'm on the board for the coalition, and I just offered the shop to have a space to do the art show. So I'll actually empty everything out of there and fill it all up with art. So
wow.
It'll be just full of art.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Last year we had 60 different artists and over 120 different art pieces, which
wow.
was pretty amazing. It's a small shop. So if you've been in there, you're going to be like, well, where does it all go? But we had stuff hanging from the ceilings. I opened the back door, the back room, and it just goes everywhere. And it's pretty exciting.
Is this the second Freedom for All?
Second annual. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's the second one. And you were on the board last year as well. Were you?
This time last year, I was not on the board.
Okay.
I was just a member. And
did you hold it? Was it still at Picture This? Wasn't
yep, it was at Picture This.
Yeah. Okay. So all your custom framing needs right there at Picture This. But this yeah. one, this particular thing, and you're going to have the show up for the whole month.
I am. Yeah. So opening party is first Friday in June, June 7th.
Okay.
From 4 to 8, but it is going to hang all month. So including things that get sold, do not get taken home until the end of June. So the entire show will be hanging the whole month. So you'll get to see it in its entirety, which is
oh, that's
cool.
great. And then you have to remember if you buy something to go back.
I keep track of all that.
No. I forgot for so long on a piece. And then they're finally like, they brought it to me here at this.
Yeah,
at this
no, I'm good at keeping track of everybody. I make sure
good.
Everybody gets
track
their
them
piece.
Down. Okay. So what is the Freedom for All art show?
Well, so like I said, it's with the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition, but that is often seen as maybe more of a political thing. But this is specifically designed to not be political. What we want to say is that everybody should have the right to believe what they want to believe, and we should respect each person's place. Each person has a different perspective in this world, including just like all different types of artists, which is why this is open to all artists. Each artist has a different perspective. And with that, they're able to make their own beautiful artwork. And so having different perspectives is actually what makes us beautiful as people. And so this is a good representation of if we all thought the same, if we all use the same medium, the world would be pretty boring. An art show would be pretty boring. But this one is actually very interesting. We have this for artists of all mediums. So like last year we had 60 different artists and they were all different. So everything from mosaics, quilting, painting on rocks to all different types of two-dimensional pottery. I mean, everything that you could think of, which is really interesting to have all in one show. So if you get a chance to come see it, it's most of the time you have a show that's, you know, one or two different mediums and, you know, maybe a couple different artists. But I've actually never seen a show like this in Juno where you have so many different people saying their own thing all in one place.
In a packed little studio too, yeah. Which is kind of fun. Right?
That's yeah.
So you turn around, there's an idea, turn around, there's a different idea.
Yeah. Yeah,
all that kind of fun thing. And you're, it's a mix of artwork or artist, whatever people want to submit. And mm-hmm. And I know it's like 2D or 3D or basically anything that you want to submit, you, as long as it can fit in the store, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it can't, we'll figure something out.
Yeah. We'll take a picture of it and hang it outside yeah, right? Or, you know, you can still look at it in the store. And there's still room for artists. If you're an artist and you want to participate, tell us a little bit about that and what you're looking for and the process of how people would go about doing
that. Yeah. So if you could have at least a word to me by May 25th, if I could have the art by May 25th, that's the best. Or at least let me know that it's coming so I can make sure I save a spot for you. You just got to bring it in to me at Picture This. And you're welcome to give me a call if you have more questions at 463-3700. And yeah, it's pretty easy. If you have something that means something to you, it doesn't have to be with the topic of Freedom for All, but if you have something that speaks to you with that title, then even better, bonus points to you.
Right. So that's a theme. You can kind of play mm-hmm. off the theme however you want.
Yeah, but we have
really.
People that are submitting stuff that is not, maybe they just really want to participate, but they make this one thing or
right.
they already have this specific thing that they want to show. So
right.
It's a very eclectic, interesting show because of that.
That's cool. And of course, Picture This is at 230 South Franklin Street, Suite 110, right? Mm-hmm. So, and what are your hours? When could people stop by?
Tuesday through Friday from 11 to 5, Saturday 11 to 3.
Okay.
But I am on the water side of the Marine View building. So if you actually Google that address, it's going to bring you to the Franklin Street side. But I'm right off of Ferry Way across from Cirque. So it's actually easy to find once you find me.
And if you once you know where it is,
yep.
It's like downtown disc. Once you know where it is, you can get yep. there. But and if you need to have questions answered or if you want more info, as Des said, you can call 463-3700. That's the phone number. And if it's outside of working hours, I guess they'll leave a message and mm-hmm. Des will get back to you. And people are. So this is a question I have. So this is a fundraiser, which I want to talk about in terms of that. But so people are donating their art for the fundraiser. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're not, you're donating. Not making money.
No, yes. I'm not making any money. And every single dollar that we raise goes directly to the scholarship. So the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition awards a scholarship to high school seniors and young adults that apply. However much money we raise, we give away. And so like this last year, we gave away three different scholarships, which is pretty exciting. I know education expenses are expensive. So anything we can do to help with that. But so it is also not an auction. A lot, you know, a lot of the things in Juno are an auction, but this is every piece has a set price given to me by the artist because we don't want to undervalue anybody's work. That's the price for the art until the end of the month. And so dollar for dollar, that goes right into the JPCC scholarship.
That's great. And is the scholarship for any particular, is it for early college? Is it for?
It's anything. It's honestly anything. I mean, if you're 30 something and you're going to school in the trades for something, or if you're a high school senior and you need some money for books, it's whatever it is that you need to continue your education.
And where can students or people interested in the scholarship find out information on
so
how to apply?
Yeah, so go to junoprochoice.com. Okay. And there's also a link there to the information about the scholarship, which we just awarded, but put on your books for next year. And then also information about the art show for if you want to participate or just come by. And so the art show also, I should mention, is going to have live music and is catered by Spice.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So,
yeah.
So I love Spice.
Tell us a little bit more about the opening night. This is June 7th, first Friday for June, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Picture This. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be catered by Spice, which is always yummy.
Free food.
free food from Spice. That's a bonus right there. And then you're going to have some live music.
We are. Dara Milados is going to play. And then we've got Jane Hale. She's also going to play. And then I think I maybe have one more person set up, but not quite sure on
still
that.
Still lining it up. Yeah, I get that. That is really cool.
So it's fun. It's a fun, lively event. Lot of great conversations, a lot of wonderful people. Either you could stop by on your way to doing the rounds or you could just stop in and just stay.
Awesome. And does Picture This, do you have a website?
Yes, picturethissek.com.
Southeast Alaska, SEAK.com. Picture this, SEAK.com or JunoCoalition.com or JunoProChoice.com. Which one? It's either one of those, right?
You probably have it better.
It's JunoCoalition.com is the website, JunoCoalition.com, for more info on this event and also the scholarship fund that is available that gets funded by this particular event. It's an art show. It's called Freedom for All. Artists are still available. If you have artwork and you want to submit it to this art show, call Des at 463-3700 or stop by Picture This at 230 South Franklin Street, Tuesday through Friday, you said? 11?
Well, Tuesday through Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
And I'm often there outside hours, so you can call anytime.
Just drive by and see if the light's on.
I also want to say just one more thing that, you know, a lot of the times people think that, you know, this art show is just for professional artists.
Yeah.
So many arts and crafts people in Juneau. So if even if you don't consider yourself a professional artist, this is for you. This is for you to get your name out there, for people to see your work, for people to start talking about you, and for you to actually see your stuff on the wall or on a table or hanging from the ceiling or wherever it is we can put it.
Wherever it goes. Yes. I love that. I love that. It's going to be somewhere in there. It's going to be somewhere in there. Des, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about this. It's really cool. It's the Freedom for Art show on June 7th. And I really appreciate you coming in. Good cheese.
That was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Up next, got sourdough? Well, this Saturday, bring it to the Last Chance Mining Museum as they are looking for the best sourdough. We'll find out more next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. You've heard of grass-fed beef, prized for its hay-like flavor, or Iberico pork from Spain, nutty from a diet rich in acorns. But what's on the dinner table of wild game? Sitka black-tailed deer meander southeast Alaska rainforests, browsing much of the year on peppery, false lily of the valley leaves, wood ferns with their hint of asparagus, and sharp-tasting alder roughage. In the fall, it's bright red bunch berries, full of tart vitamin C. In winter, deer head to the beach for a feast of mineral-rich seaweed. In spring, lots of skunk cabbage, a decidedly acquired taste. Farther north in the Arctic, caribou subsist on shrubby willows, snow willow, roundleaf willow, all bitter, but said to have hints of wintergreen and cucumber. Alpine sweetgrass, reminiscent of vanilla, is another caribou favorite, along with horsetail. Tasting of green tea, and of course, plenty of earthy lichens. For dessert, low bush cranberries. The flavor of wild game is complex, a combination of favored forage foods and an animal's natural mineral composition. Moose, for example, is high in iron, containing 6 milligrams per 5 ounce serving, compared to venison's 4 milligrams. One thing is for certain, all that wilderness wandering makes game lean and fibrous. Think of a caribou walking 50 miles a day on its seasonal migration, or a mountain goat leaping uphill from rock to rock, as much as 12 feet in a single bound. So be sure to use a tenderizing marinade when preparing your wild game harvest. Find the full recipe for our favorite marinade at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, on International Museum Day, out at the Last Chance Mining Museum, it's the Great Sourdough Bake-Off. Bring your best sourdough and sourdough stories. And here to tell us more about the museum and this cool event that's happening is Renee Hughes. Gonna chisha yigudi. Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you. Wasa iati. How's it going?
Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Of course.
Wish it was a little drier, but it's a great day.
It's all good. I mean, but summer is, it's basically here. It's coming. It's, you know, it feels like it's good. I know we've needed some rain, so that's all good. So first, let's talk about the Last Chance Mining Museum. Maybe for those who are new to Juneau or haven't heard of it before, tell us a little bit about what the Last Chance Mining Museum is.
Well, the Mining Museum is located at the end of Basin Road. It's one of the old historic buildings that were part of the AJ Mine that was a big part of Juneau's development. And we are in the old compressor building that we have transformed into the museum because you can't really move the compressor. But we've been celebrating International Museum Day up there for over 25 years, and that's what we're going to be doing on Saturday.
Oh, that's so cool. And are you going to, I know the museum, as summer approaches, the hours change. Is that already kicked in?
The hours, we're going to open on the 18th, and that will be the beginning of our summer season. So our hours will be Thursday through Monday from 2 to 5.
Okay, Thursday through Monday from 2 to 5, starting this Saturday,
which is Saturday.
International Museum Day. And that is part of the Gastineau Channel Historical Society, right?
Like correct.
It's a function of that. They also run the lighthouse, and
we have a variety of publications. One of the things that we're going to be celebrating on International Museum Day is we're having 40 years of our newsletter being published, and it's an award-winning newsletter. We've gotten awards from the state through the State Historic Society and the press clubs. So it's a pretty nice newsletter that we've been able to put out for 40 years. So
it's, wow, that's pretty cool. How do people get on the list for that?
Well, if you join the Historic Society through, you can visit our website at junohistory.org, and there's a membership section in there, and that gets you our newsletter, which comes out, and it features all kinds of interesting topics that are related to things that have happened along Gastineau Channel.
I see. Okay, that's cool. I was checking out the website too. It's pretty cool. The junohistory.org is a really great website. And one thing I found was the day in history, which I think is always fun. And so I just want to read one from today.
Sure.
From May 14th, which was from 1955. It has a bunch of different years you can go back to.
The timeline.
But this one, in this day in 1955, territorial health officials announced the schedule for the area's Salk polio vaccination program. Starting next week, all first and second grade students will be vaccinated, as well as first through third grade student, third grade parochial school students. The vaccine will be available to the general public at a later date. And that was published in the Daily Alaska Empire. I just love that they're like a little notice about the polio vaccine is happening. And it's just how far we've come in all these years, right? So it's just fun. It's a great, you can go at any date and on the calendar of
pretty
the year.
Pretty much any of Juneau's history is on there. It's very extensive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a very cool website. And I think that's great. So, all right, let's talk sourdough. So how did this event come about?
Well, every year for International Museum Day, we've tried to feature some sort of something, whether it was quilts or local artists. And this year, because sourdough was such an important part of the prospectors coming up for the gold rush, we thought it might be a good year to highlight that.
I see. Okay.
And there are a lot of people in town that have sourdough starter that was started way back in history and have been able to keep it alive for all these years. And some people have sourdough starter that they just started during COVID, trying to deal with the isolation. And there are quite a few bakers out there that I know did a lot of baking during that time. So I'm looking for whoever has perfected their recipes and thinks that they really have something worth wonderful.
I have bought sourdough starter before, Renee, and I've killed it every time. Is there a trick? Can you give any tips?
I had some once and it kept growing so much. I finally just said, my husband and I don't eat enough bread.
That's so funny. So, and also you're looking for sourdough stories, right? What do you mean by that?
Well, some people have starters that came from like I said, older families or older people that, like Ruth Altman, was very involved with the sourdough that was going on at the Wickershams. And so I know that her sourdough is still out there. And some people have creations, whether it is something that came about during COVID and they've managed to keep it along alive all these times. It's how sourdough has helped you survive.
I see. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And is there any, like who should enter? Is it anybody who's got, yeah, who should
enter? Anybody who enjoys baking and would like to show off their baking skills with their sourdough.
Yeah, that's, I love that. That's really fun. So anybody and everybody, right?
Yes, it's free to the public. And anyone who'd like to bring their sourdough at 11 o'clock, judging will happen by 12 o'clock. And then we'll do our prizes and such for the afternoon.
I see. So, you know, that's what I was going to say is the details of it. I don't have to register in advance. I can just show up at the Last Chance Mining Museum at end of Basin Road.
And you come at 11 o'clock.
11 yes. o'clock to sort of get the pre-registration going. And how many people do you think will show up with sourdough?
Well, I've had a couple of people tell me they're interested. I hope there's more that I haven't talked to.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're out there and you want to participate in this, I love that. It's like
show off your baking.
Yeah. It's not really a bake-off, but it is because there are some prizes, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Gourmet Alaska, we've got a prize from them, and we're going to give a cash prize as well.
Oh, a cash prize as well.
Yes.
There's money on the line. I love that. And I really think it's going to be fun, like, to hear. I love the sourdough stories element of this. So it's not just like bringing your best bread or whatever you're making out of the sourdough. But it's like the history of it. Like if you've got, like, if there's a trail of that, like the long lineage of the different sourdough starters.
How
like
has it affected you?
Yeah. And different people that you've known or maybe shared with, or, you know, I think that would be, what a great community sort of event, right? Like in terms of being able to share that history together. And there may be stuff that
and
people
it could
don't.
Be as recent history as yesterday morning.
Right, right. Absolutely. That is so cool. Besides the sourdough starter, what are the things that we're going to see at the museum, by the way? What are people can expect when they get out there?
Well, we have some new stuff up there highlighting our newsletters, and the big air compressor is the main big piece of equipment that takes up most of the building. There's always tools and equipment, and the glass map is one of my favorites.
Ooh, nice.
That shows the different levels inside the mountain.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So it's this event is this Saturday. It's International Museum Day, which the museum has been celebrating forever. Show up at 11 a.m. with your sourdough or sourdough, whatever you've made with your sourdough.
It doesn't matter whether it's biscuits or bread.
Yeah, whatever you've made. And you can park at the end of Basin Road, follow the path down the hill on the right and cross the bridge over Gold Creek to the short climb to the museum. That's the instructions, right? Here. And if you have more information or if you need more information, you can call 780-4355. And the best thing is that this kicks off the Last Chance Mining Museum summer season. And after this opening on Saturday, they'll be open Thursday through Monday from 2 to 5 p.m. And you can always find out more by giving that number a call. 586-5338 is the number for the museum, right?
Correct.
Okay. The number I gave before, 780-4355, is to help with those who might need assistance.
More information before the 18th.
Yeah, okay. And assistance for those with mobility impairments to be able to navigate and get to the museum. That is really cool. Renee, it's such a pleasure. The Last Chance Mining Museum is such a cool thing in Juneau.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. We appreciate being here.
Yeah. And best of luck with the great sourdough bake-off.
It's something different I haven't done before.
I love it. It's something cool that we haven't had before. So get your sourdough and get out there to the Last Chance Mining Museum this Saturday. Gwyneth Cheese for being here, Renee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I'll have butter and jam.
I love that. All right. Up next, the first ever Wild Skill Junior Search and Rescue Day Camp is coming June 8th. We'll find out more next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Rejig Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the rings of Saturn. The planets of our solar system all have unique characteristics, and the most striking of the planets is Saturn because of its ring system. The rings were first discerned by the astronomer Galileo in the 17th century. His telescope was not powerful enough to actually see them as rings. He actually saw them as bumps or ears to the planet. It wasn't until the astronomer Huygens that they were actually seen as rings. And it was the mathematician Laplace who showed with mathematical arguments that the rings could not be a solid structure. They had to be composed of individual particles. The origin of the rings is still debated. They could have formed with the solar system itself almost 5 billion years ago. It's also thought that it could have been a collision of moons that formed the rings, or could have been a moon that came too close to the gravitational field of Saturn and was torn asunder. In any case, the rings are so slender in relation to their width that every 15 years, when they become edgewise to Earth's view, they seemingly disappear. And the next occurrence of this will be in 2025. So Saturn orbits the sun in 30 Earth years, and twice during that orbit, they will become edgewise to the Earth and seemingly no longer exist. This is Steve Kosas with the Rejig Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at rejigplanetarium.org. Thank you.
When the world may
yeah, a little Aaron Heist with another rainy day here on Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Saturday, June 8th, She Jumps and Juno Mountain Rescue are teaming up to bring the first ever Wild Skills Juno Search and Rescue Day Camp. With 40 spaces and focused on middle school age young women, it will fill fast. To give us the rundown and all the details, via Zoom, we have Callie. Is it Beeth, Callie?
Yes, Callie Beethy.
Callie Beethy. Okay, she's the event coordinator and co-regional coordinator for She Jumps. And Jackie Ebert, president of Juno Mountain Rescue. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. They're both joining us via Zoom. And in the studio, we have Britta Tonneson. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, nice. Okay. Hi, Britta.
Hi.
Hi. Great. Okay. So I've got all of you in the studio, or you in the studio and them on Zoom. It's awesome. So we have so much to talk about with this awesome first ever day camp. But first, let's find out about the two organizations, and then we'll jump into sort of this event and how it came about, and we'll detail it all, because I think that would be really cool. So let's first talk about She Jumps. I want to know a little bit about the She Jumps organization. Who should take that?
So Callie or I can take it and I can start.
Okay.
But Callie and I volunteer with She Jumps. She Jumps is a primarily national nonprofit, but also located in Canada. And we believe that outdoor play transforms. And so we seek to create outdoor educational opportunities for women and girls, cis, trans, non-binary, to explore and experience growth in outdoors.
Okay. Okay. And so what kind of events do you do?
We do all sorts of things. Back in 2019, Callie and I first started working together on the first ever women's surf clinic in Yakutat.
Oh, nice.
We've done some partnerships with Mountain Adventures to do intro to backcountry, intro to splitboarding, glacier travel, crevasse rescue. And then we have these wild skills programs, which are oriented towards kids 7 to 17 to teach the technical skills that they need to be outdoors under strong female mentorship and a supportive environment.
It seems like that's a good idea here in Southeast to know the outdoors, right?
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And because there's still things I don't know and on how to do things. And I would be in a lot of trouble if something came up. But getting that education young is a great idea. Okay. And Jackie, can you tell us a little bit about Juno Mountain Rescue?
Yeah, sure thing. So, like my intro, I'm Jackie with Juno Mountain Rescue. We are basically we're a 501c3 all nonprofit, fully volunteer mountain rescue team. So we affect search and rescue under the authority of the state troopers. And we're available to respond statewide, but we typically respond all throughout Southeast, from anywhere from, a basic search for overdue hiker to overdue aircraft. We are trained in technical rope rescue as well as avalanche response. So we've kind of got a lot of different specialties in our pocket, as well as medical skills. And we are kind of invested, I think, in this event because part of our mission is education and outreach. And this kind of skills clinic to the girls just falls right in our wheelhouse.
How, I'm just curious, before we talk about that skills camp, I'm just curious about the mountain rescue and how often do people get lost? I'm just curious.
Yeah, we average about anywhere from 15 to 30 missions a year.
Wow.
Our busiest time is generally about now through the fall. Based on visitors and weather, longer hours in the day. But yeah, so.
Yeah. And because people are out there doing more hiking and they're out doing more wilderness activities. Is there anything that a person who isn't going to attend this camp should know? Like, is there something they should prepare for? Like, so just like a couple simple reminders before you actually go out. I mean, one of them would probably be tell somebody you're going out, right?
Exactly. File a trip plan. Tell people where you're going, when to expect you back, what you're carrying, what kind of methods of communication you might have. you know, that's really important. If you have a cell phone and have cell service, that takes a lot of the search out of our response.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so is this the first time that She Jumps and Juno Mountain Rescue are teaming up, Britta?
This will be the second time.
Okay.
We teamed up 2 years ago on Discover Eagle Crest Day. We did a Wild Skills Family Adventure, which was really great because that focused on the girls, but then it involved the families. And so we had nearly 10 community organizations host a station. And at each station, they focused on a technical skill. So Juno Mountain Rescue brought up 7 phenomenal women who focus on 10 essentials and kind of what a little bit of what Jackie just ran through. Trail Mix did nutrition because, of course, Sail and Orca were there about being inclusive and adaptive. NOAA NWS, Discovery Southeast, the Cooperative Extension, Alaska Department of Fish and Game did bears and berry safety. We did all sorts of things on that day. And so when Juno Mountain Rescue showed up with 7 or more phenomenal women that ended up aiding the other stations as well. And then I found out that we had Junior Search and Rescue. I was like, we need to partner again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay, yeah. So that's nice that you guys are teaming up again. So this camp, tell us a little bit about the camp and how this idea came about.
It was started in Idaho through a She Jumps volunteer down there with their search and rescue. I saw it on the social media and I asked how we make it happen here. So I reached out to Juno Mountain Rescue and then they've kind of taken the part of the technical development for the curriculum from there. So She Jumps will help support with registration, with publicity, with volunteer support on the ground. But then Juno Mountain Rescue will provide the technical skills and there's going to be 4 primary technical skills they'll learn, which I'll let Jackie talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jackie, tell us a little bit about what's on the docket for the people attending the camp.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a few of the stations are going to cover medical skills. So, you know, patient packaging, splinting, how to kind of help a rescue when you're out for a hike with a friend and maybe get creative with supplies that you might be carrying. Or, you know, things that you can find in the woods. So we'll have, yeah, medical, patient packaging. We're going to have a technical rope rescue station where we can go over some of the basic knots and structure of, you know, things that we use to affect a technical rescue, including some mechanical advantage with pulleys. So different little simple systems to give an advantage. And then I believe the last station is going to be avalanche related. And so we'll go a little bit into what to carry in the backcountry when you're skiing, and a little bit of, I think, avalanche response, like with the beacons.
The beacons. What are the beacons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So avalanche safety beacons. So what we use, what we put on our person when we go out into the backcountry, so that if you are in an avalanche, you can use it. You know, there's send mode, and then there's search mode. So you can search for someone who's buried wearing the transceiver.
Oh, that's such good. That's a good piece of equipment. How is the, that brings up an interesting question too, because like now we do have cell phones and we do have things like these beacons. Has the technology like gotten so much better in terms of helping you all do the work that you do?
Yeah, I would say, especially with, you know, increased cell service and some of the newer type iPhones that have the capabilities of sending kind of that signal offline when you're not in cell service, it gives us an idea of where to look and a faster response time, just because they're able to call for help sooner.
Yeah, I've seen that on my phone. I didn't really know what it was for, but I remember, I think when I got the newest whatever phone I got, iPhone, whatever, it popped up and said this feature can be enabled, right? Or something like mm-hmm. that, which allows it, even if you're not in cell service, to still be able to send out a signal. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
And I would say another pretty new technology that also is becoming more prominent throughout a lot of rural in different areas in Alaska is Starlink. And so having that capability, even for, you know, to bring it into communities to affect search and rescue response.
Yeah, I just had a friend show me the map of all the Starlink satellites that exist up in the sky. It's yeah. Like, there's a lot. There's like 40,000 satellites or something like that. It's really incredible. Okay, so Callie, I want to ask you, as the event coordinator and co-regional coordinator, can we talk a little bit about the registration and who should be applying and how they need to apply? This event isn't until June 8th. And is there a cost and all that stuff?
Yes. So you can register online at Eventbrite. Registration is $20, but if that is an issue, that can be waived, and there is a button to toggle on that. So don't worry about if you can't fund that. Sorry, what was the first part of the question?
Oh, just who should register? Like what ages are we looking at?
For middle school girls is our focus, but that's who it's going to be geared towards. But everyone is welcome. If family wants to join along, we will be separating the girls at different age groups. So if there's an older group, they will be together, and whereas younger kids will be together as well, moving through the stations.
I see. So, and I think I saw something. So like siblings could join, right? So if there's a parent maybe definitely wants their young person to participate, but they have other siblings, they can come along as well, as long as they register, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And if there's any individual questions, please email cbeethe@shejumps.org, and we can answer any questions that you have with sign up, gear to bring, but there's more information on Eventbrite.
Gotcha.
And the She Jumps website.
Okay. And what is the She Jumps website? Is She Jumps?
.org.
Okay. And how about Juno Mountain Rescue? What's the website for Juno Mountain Rescue, Jackie?
It's www.junomountainrescue.org.
Love it. They're so easy. Shejumps.org, JunoMountainRescue.org. That's very good. It's really cool in Juno that we get, like, if you put Juno in there, you're probably going to get your website that you want. which is really kind of fun. Now, there's only 40 spaces. And is this like a trial? Because it's a day camp. And if it goes well, will there be more, Britta? Will you guys do more of this?
We'd love to do more if it's successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's tons of young people out there who would want to take this course and to learn all of these skills and to you know, because we live here, right? We live in this part of the world. We need to be safe. So that's kind of cool. I love that. I love that. And you were telling me before we started today that there is a celebration that we need to put out there in the world, too.
Yeah, we need to congratulate Juno Mountain Rescue.
Yeah. For what?
Their reaccreditation.
Reaccreditation? What? Tell us about that, Jackie.
Yeah, so we are certified by the Mountain Rescue Association, and every 5 years they send, the Alaska region of the MRA sends an evaluation team to kind of test our team out and, you know, work, let us demonstrate our skills to them through a certain amount of scenarios. And we just had that 2 weekends ago, and it's always a very intense training process leading up to that for our team. And then going through, you know, the whole reaccreditation tests, but we passed everything in the first go, and it was a great, beautiful, sunny weekend. So
that's really
lots of hard work by we have 41 responders, and I think we had at least 30 of them involved in, you know, this 2-day intense process. So
people are going to be learning from the best, basically, is what I'm getting.
I would say so.
I love that. Okay, so let's go over the details one more time. So it's Saturday, June 8th. And basically, you can register at Eventbrite, right? And Eventbrite can be so difficult. But if you just search for She Jumps Wild Skills Junior Search and Rescue, or even just She Jumps Search and Rescue, I'm sure it will come up on Eventbrite. And one of you were saying that if people had an issue with the registration fee, like if they couldn't afford that, that they should reach out to you, Callie. Was that right?
Correct. Yeah. And in the registration, there's a button to push as well.
Okay, great. And it was cbeethe@shejumps.org is the email.
Correct.
Yeah, great. Okay, that's perfect. And is there a phone number for more information, Britta, that somebody could call? What's the best way if they wanted to call and talk to somebody? Is there a phone number or should they email?
Email's great. They can call me. The email's probably better. It's also on shejumps.org website. And we have two Facebook pages that you can find it on. One is the She Jumps National Facebook.
Yeah.
And then we have a Far North She Jumps Facebook page that has the specific to Alaska
events. I see. Okay. That's cool. Great. Awesome. Well, this was great. I think this is going to be really cool. I know it's not for a few weeks, so you have time. It's not a last minute registration. You got a little bit of time to think about it, but there's only 40 spots.
There's only 40 spots. The participants will get snacks and lunch, a journal, a certificate of achievement, and some cool kind of search and rescue toys or items to take home at the end of the day. And we might have surprise guests as well.
Surprise guests.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. I love it. Well, Callie, Jackie, Britta, thank you so much for coming in and sharing about this with us today. It's the Wild Skills Juno Search and Rescue Day Camp, the first ever. And it's a partnership between She Jumps and Juno Mountain Rescue. It's for middle-aged young women. And it will fill fast as there's only 40 spots. And you can search at, and as Britta said, it's encompassing non-binary and all are welcome. Even if you have siblings, it's just a great way to get the family out and learn some cool skills, right? Some skills for wildlife and wild, preservation.
Self-preservation.
Self-preservation. That's so good. And of course, you can go to Eventbrite and search She Jumps Search and Rescue, and that'll have you get all the information. Or go visit shejumps.org or junomountainrescue.org. I love it. There's a lot of websites there, but they're easy to find. So that's really cool. So Callie, Jackie, Britta, thank you so much for coming in today. Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
The '60s came, the '60s went, our dreams of peace and love were spent. The right attacked, the left had died, the good Samaritan crucified. Jesus said to love your neighbor, but the rich got richer, wouldn't do you no favor. Now, baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blind and flashing lights. Ronald Reagan hated ecology, took a chainsaw, clear cut the trees, sold a birthright to the Japanese. All we got was computers and TVs, surfing on the internet, the things you've never found out yet. Drowned in the age of information, wizards withheld from a whole damn nation. Baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blind and flashing light. Just as ain't blind, she can see the daylight of reality. How much a lawyer costs and the rich walk free. Ask OJ if you don't believe. You can get away with murder if you're a billionaire. When you got a lot of money, honey, nobody cares. Now, baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blind and flashing light. This country's starting to remind me of pre-World War Germany. Feel the hate, the fear, no repentance. Got no mercy, got no tears. Lincoln rolls over in his grave. If he could see these Republican senators today, now baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blind and flashing light. They want to turn this country into Bosnia. NRA right-wing gun freaks take the blood of our precious children, turn around and spill it into the street. Masturbating with their gun while they're eating Soldier of Fortune. Now, baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blind and flashing light.
The Russians sell nuclear arms to angry Islamic states. You turn around and tell me that there's hope. You spin back around and say it's not too late. Standing in the shadow of Armageddon, judgment's waiting at the gates of heaven. Now, baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be wanting that blinding flashlight. Mushroom cloud, death's bright shroud wraps around all of us now. The intensity of radioactive heat melts us right down to our feet. Our prophets that predict our doom walk around with a head full of gloom. Now, baby, ain't living right. We'll all be wanting that blinding flash of light. The homeless population grows, multiplies, and then explodes in your face. Such a disgrace, you don't give them any place. So you take off for the shopping malls. Jesus is yelling at you in the halls. Now, baby, ain't living right. And you just maxed out your credit card last night. I'm an aging hippie in a trailer park where the streets are mean. You don't go out after dark. The kids out back are smoking crack. You don't ever make no eye contact. All God's children are carrying a gun. You better pick up your tennis shoes. You better run. Now, baby, ain't living right. We'll all be wanting that blinding flash of light.
That's Buddy Tabor with Blinding Flash of Light from his album Buddy, from the album Blinding Flash of Light, and the Buddy Tabor Project, which you can find on Instagram at Buddy Tabor Project, at Buddy Tabor Project, is releasing the next album, Meadowlark, and it will be coming out this Friday on all streaming services. It's part of the project to get all of Buddy's music, Juno music legend, onto streaming services for future generations to be able to listen to. And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a terrific Tuesday. On tomorrow's show, Grammy award-winning music group Imani Winds live in studio, plus this weekend's law enforcement torch run and Bartlett Hospital with information on Better Speech and Hearing Month. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Have a good day, everybody.